So would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have for our homecoming today. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless our time together and that you will renew our friendship and bless us with a growing love for each other. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats now. Would you please join me now in our prayer for illumination? Lord God, as we come before you now and we approach your word, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will touch our hearts and touch our minds and change our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So this morning, we're continuing our sermon series on the book of Galatians. Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul about 30 years after the time of Jesus. And Paul wrote this letter to some of the churches that he had helped to establish on his previous missionary journeys. Now, the province of Galatia, where these churches were located, is in what is now kind of the central part of modern-day Turkey. Paul was probably in the city of Antioch, which is located in what is now the modern-day country of Syria. When Paul introduced these people to Jesus the Messiah, he told them that they are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus the Messiah. But unfortunately, there were some false teachers that had infiltrated the followers of Jesus and had told them that their faith wasn't enough to be saved, that they also had to become Jewish people if they weren't already Jewish, and they had to keep the Jewish law, religious law, in order to be saved. And Paul is writing this letter to counter these false teachers and their misguided teaching. Now, the scholars have called Paul's letter to the Galatians the Christian Declaration of Independence. And Paul tells them this morning that because Jesus has made us independent, we are free from sin and free to love. And so now, listen to the word of the Lord.
Our Old Testament lesson is from the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, beginning with the 15th verse. Do not act unjustly when deciding a case. Do not be partial to the poor or give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not jeopardize your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The gospel lesson today is from Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. This is the gospel for today. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sydney. So this past Wednesday was Patriot Day, when we officially remember the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon by radical Islamic terrorists on September the 11th, 2001. There were many acts of selfless sacrifice on that day. We think of the fire and rescue workers and the police officers who rushed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon to save those inside. Many of them showed their love for their neighbors by sacrificing their lives to save them. We also remember the passengers of Flight 93 who selflessly sacrificed their own lives to prevent their aircraft from being flown into yet another building by the terrorists. Their sacrifice showed their love for unknown people who they had never met and never would meet. These examples from 9/11 are very clear examples of God's call on our lives to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This would be a good time for you to pull out your sermon notes. You can kind of follow along and see where we're going this morning. First, we find that freedom is not for sin. Next, we discover that freedom is for love. And finally, we hear Paul's warning, don't bite. As today, we hear of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul calling us to love others as we love ourselves. So we begin with the idea that freedom is not for sin. We join Paul in this passage as he tells the Galatians, you are called to freedom. Paul addresses the followers of Jesus directly by saying, you, and calling them sisters and brothers. He's not talking to the false teachers at this point, but to the true followers of Jesus the Messiah. They are called to freedom through the gospel of Jesus, and it is by God's grace that they are called. And it is to freedom that they are called. They're no longer slaves to sin, but they enjoy the freedom to serve God. Paul continues by saying, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, the Greek word that's translated here as opportunity is actually a military term. It was used in the ancient times to mean a military base. And so our freedom was not to be used as a base from which to plan and launch our sin. The flesh refers to the sinful desire of our flawed human nature. It reflects the society of the time. It refers to the sinful world that is opposed to God. Now, the criticisms that Paul's opponents leveled at him was that he was using this freedom to be corrupt and wicked and immoral. And he wants to make it clear to his audience that he is not teaching some sort of tolerance or self-indulgence or self-centeredness. It's a freedom from sin, not a freedom to sin. We are forgiven and we are saved. That doesn't mean that we use our salvation as an excuse to sin, but as an alternative. We use it to serve God. Instead, he says, serve others through love. Our freedom was not just to be used to avoid the bad, but to do the good. As Christians, we are called to serve God by serving people. And we're especially called to show our love for God by serving other Christians. As our choir sang, they will know that we are Christians by our love. This service is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it's used by the Holy Spirit as a witness to those who are not yet followers of Jesus, to show the love that God has for us by seeing the love that we, as followers of Jesus, have for each other. So love others as you love yourself. Now, this is vitally important because freedom is for love. Paul now quotes our Old Testament reading and Jesus himself. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, a famous and favorite verse of many. Jesus himself tells the Pharisees who come to test him that it is the greatest commandment. But Paul, and probably Jesus too, would make the point to remind us that this means to love our neighbor every time, all the time, in thought, feeling, and actions. And the Galatians did not do that. And I don't do that. And I'm guessing that you probably don't do that either. So we still need the forgiveness, mercy, and grace of Jesus to save us. After all, Jesus did not tell the Pharisees this and then immediately ascend back into heaven because his work on earth was done. No, he went to the cross and died for our sins because he knew that we could not love each other all the time, every time, any more than we could keep any other part of the Jewish religious law. In fact, sometimes it's actually harder to truly love another person than it is to follow a set of rules. However, with the Holy Spirit in the lives of Paul's Galatian readers, and in your life and in my life today, we are now free to love. Before, as slaves to sin, defined by the law, it was difficult, if not impossible, to love. And I'll bet we can all think of people we know today who we find it difficult to love, right? But now, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are free and able to love each other, including that person that you were just thinking about. So we are to love our neighbors. Jesus tells us in the parable of the Good Samaritan that our neighbor is anyone we encounter. It could be that person we despise. It could be that person we consider our enemy, but we're still to love that person because Jesus loves them too, no matter what they have done. And oh, by the way, love is not the same as trust, nor does love mistakenly call sin and evil righteousness or good. Love is a thought, a feeling, an action. It is an affection and goodwill toward another person. It can include a desire for them to turn away from their sin, or a desire that they would agree with us on politics, or a desire that they would have a good life, rather than rejection and a desire for their destruction. And we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, with the same measure, with the same attitude that we love ourselves, and with the same intensity that we love ourselves. Paul takes for granted that a person would love themselves. He's speaking in general terms here, and there's an implication that from God's perspective, that the followers of Jesus should love themselves. Because after all, we are children of God, and God loves us. Therefore, we are to love others, and we are to love others as we love ourselves. Now, Paul follows this up with a warning when he says, don't bite. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Paul now gives a warning about what happens when the followers of Jesus do not love each other. This is what happens when we don't use our freedom to serve each other. The Greek word for bite and devour refers to wild animals who are predators. It describes how a predator kills its prey in nature. And if the followers of Jesus do this, they will ultimately consume one another. In other words, they will spend all of their time, effort, and energy engaging in petty squabbles. And they won't have any time, energy, or other resources available to serve the Lord. This is what happens when we focus on ourselves and not on others. We bite and we devour instead of loving and serving. Like one church I served in was more concerned about the children spilling Kool-Aid on the new carpet during vacation Bible school than they were about the children learning about Jesus during vacation Bible school. But how do we love our neighbor practically today? I have a friend that rides a bicycle for exercise, and one place where my friend rides, there's a very steep hill that is covered with mulch. The trail is a mulched trail. And he told me that he's found if he tries to stand up on his bike to get up that hill and pedal really hard, there's too much torque on the wheel, and it slips in the mulch. And then he loses momentum, and he must get off the bike and walk the bike up the hill. But if he puts the bike in its lowest gear and remains sitting on the seat and pedals steadily and slowly, he can make it up the hill. And I think this is true for the way we love our neighbor also. Slow and steady, day in and day out, always looking for ways to serve other people It doesn't have to be spectacular or dramatic, although that works too. But it's the small acts of kindness and love of ordinary followers of Jesus that constitute loving our neighbor. It's also telling people what the Apostle Paul found so precious that he penned this letter to the Galatians about it, that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that fact that the Holy Spirit calls us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So remember, and do not forget, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we are grateful for the words of the Apostle Paul this morning. Lord, please send your Spirit into our lives that we may truly love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In Jesus' precious name, amen.